Good morning and welcome to this, our 10:45 service on Sunday the 29th of March. If you've made it in time, because of course the clocks change today. It's the beginning of Passion Tide, and I do pray that this time leading up to Easter will really be very special for us and draw us ever closer to God. Because God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Our first worship song today is Before I Spoke a Word. And we remember that God is our Heavenly Father and knows about us before we're even born. He even knows how many hairs there are on our heads. Let's sing now, Before I Spoke a Word.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Your fault, still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. You won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
No shit.
And now for our confession. Over to you, Abby.
Now is the time when we come before God and remember that we don't always get things right. We don't always say the right thing. We don't always do the right thing. We don't always think the right thing. But we can bring all of those things to God, and we can say sorry, and we can ask for his forgiveness. Being forgiven is a little bit like being washed clean. So today, as we bring all our things to God and ask for his forgiveness, we're going to wash our hands. So if you've got some water and a bowl and some soap, I want you to get them out ready. Hold your hands out in front of you. Have a look at them. What do you see? Imagine that they are carrying all the things that have gone wrong this week. Now stretch them out in front of you as if you are giving them all to God. As you wash your hands, I'm going to say a short prayer. God of mercy, we acknowledge that we are all sinners. We turn from the wrong that we have thought and said and done, and are mindful of all that we have failed to do for the sake of Jesus who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and help us to live each day in the light of Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Our second worship song is This Is Amazing Grace. Can I remind you that justice gives us what we deserve, mercy doesn't give us what we deserve, and grace gives us what we do not deserve. So we sing, This Is Amazing Grace.
King of glory, the King of conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace.
Our reading today comes from John chapter 11, starting at the first verse. If you'd like to pause the recording at this point, it is possible to not only hear but see the reading in a very good dramatized clip that Amy found for us. How do you react when you hear that sound? I'll never forget that clip with Morecambe and Wise when Eric goes over to shut the curtains and an ambulance or fire engine goes past and he says, "They'll never sell any ice creams going at that speed." How do you react, though, when you do hear one of our emergency vehicles going past? Do you pray for the person who needs to be helped? What about if you were the one waiting for the emergency services to arrive? How would you feel if you could not hear a sound like that in response to a 999 call? Or worse still, if you were told that there was no help available yet? I'll be asking a lot of questions in this talk. You may want to pause the recording to think about your response to the questions, but also possibly to discuss them with those who may or may not be around you. In the story of Lazarus, Jesus delayed his journey. He arrived well after the funeral had taken place. Jesus was the friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he was their hope. He was their 999 call. But he didn't arrive in time. He wasn't there for the funeral. If we were with Martha and Mary, how might we have felt? What would we have said to him? Eventually, Jesus did arrive. How did Martha and Mary react? And how did Jesus reply? Do you think that his answer and attitude helped them? Would they help you? There are signs that Jesus really did grieve. Lazarus was a good friend of his. How did he show his compassion? How did he show his power? And at what cost? This is a very well-known story and particularly appropriate for the events that are happening around us now. Do you think that it will help you? Do you think it will help you, particularly at times in your life when Jesus does not seem to be present? God does not seem to be acting. Or perhaps you're able to see how God is acting. See glimmers of what he's doing. I wonder if you've had conversations with people who've said, "I used to go to church, but I used to believe, but and then they tell you of an experience of bereavement or a tragedy or an injustice. And they've asked, where was God? Why didn't he answer our prayers? Why didn't he come and do this? I wonder how you respond in those situations. Sometimes a comforting hug or an encouraging silence can be better than a long-winded explanation. Because often those who are hurting need to know that you've heard them. How did Jesus react to the mourners in this story? Can sharing personal experiences about a difficult time help? Do you just need to get it off your chest? Do you just need to be heard? Do you think that tragedy can be faith building rather than destroying faith? Do you think that the events unfolding now might be sparking different reactions in different people? I always used to try and sing along to Edith Piaf's song, Je ne regrette rien, but I'm not going to do that for you now, so don't worry. I regret nothing. But I've encountered many people over the years who do live with regrets about what might have happened or should not have happened. How do we cope with things that might lock us into the past? How do we try to help other people to move on? Do we sometimes try to move people along far earlier than they should be? Do we find it uncomfortable talking to those who've been bereaved or gone through a tragedy? I read something once which said, you can't move to the next chapter until you've turned over the page. And many times we need to leave things in the past to be able to move forward. When we're desperate, delayed help seems very cruel. Jesus delayed going to Bethany for 4 days. How can we help people plagued by regrets? How can we help people weighed down by guilt that they could have done this or should have done that or reacted faster? Those people who can't move on, who find it really hard to forgive themselves. Can we find Jesus in the midst of our fears? As Christians, what resources do we have? It's funny how when I'm doing a funeral, not funny really, sorry, that's the wrong word, but sometimes when I've been asked to take a funeral, I've been asked, do you need to bring God into it? And I've always responded, well, yes, because I'm a Christian minister. And actually, I think God's the best thing that we can bring into any situation. A minister recently was asked, please don't mention the resurrection. This story is an affirmation of resurrection, not only by Jesus, but by Martha as well. Paul declares that if the dead are not raised, Christians are of all people the most to be pitied. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How would you respond to that person who says, don't mention the resurrection? Perhaps you might ask, is this about the deceased or the bereaved? For many people, death is a taboo subject. Consider the euphemisms we use to circumvent the word death. Oh, they've passed on. They've gone on to the other side. We've lost them. But if death, God, is not there in death, what hope can we give for the future, apart from the celebration of a memory and the end of pain? I think that's why I find humanist funerals so depressing. There's no hope. There's no promise. There's no one to accompany you. Is God dead too, in many people's minds? These next few weeks are going to be difficult in many, many ways. and I suspect that we'll only find out those ways when we're actually living through them. But can I remind you that God is not dead? God is always there. We might not get the responses we want, or we might not get the responses we want in the timing that we want. And it may be that we never know the answer of why God delayed things or didn't answer in the way we expected. We might only find out when we are with God in his presence for all eternity. But can I ask you to trust him? Because ultimately, he is the one who has promised us that he will love us and who has given us an eternity. May God bless you and keep you in the coming days and weeks. Amen. Our song of response today is, May the words of my mouth. We consider how we respond to God, how we respond to others.
Now's our time for our prayers of intercession. In this time where so many people are worried, anxious, and maybe scared, let's pray together for all those people and places, asking for God to bring fresh hope and God's resurrection power. You should have some paper in front of you and a pen to draw with. So whilst we listen to this song called Blessings, draw some teardrop shapes on your paper for each of those people or the places and hold them before God.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise.
thank you, Lord, that you weep with us as you wept with Mary and Martha. Comfort us as we comfort others. Bring restored hope to those we hold up before you today. May they know your resurrection power. Amen.
And as we move closer to this time when we will share communion, we still ourselves and sing, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. As we recall his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So come, when you are fearful, to be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful, to be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us that what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we also do for you. Give us the will to be the servants of others as you were the servant of all and gave up your life and died for us, but are alive and reign now and forever. We pray, Lord, that when we need to find the right words or actions, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will guide us to help all those who are in need. And we pray that we will know the comforting presence of your Holy Spirit alongside us this week. Amen. We do remember how Jesus is the one who offers us light, guidance, direction, but also is a comforting light in the darkness as we sing, My Lighthouse.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't feel what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are my light, my lighthouse, shining in the dark.
May Christ crucified draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And if you want to carry on worshipping, we close our service by singing together, "You Are My Vision."
My treasure.